Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And last time on the broadcast, we were joined by Dr. Wayne Grudem to talk about the role of women in the home. And it's a bit of a touchy subject, isn't it, Dad?
Well, it certainly is. And there's been considerable disagreement within the church about what Paul meant by the word submission. And there's really been some, I think, inaccurate interpretations of that scripture. And that's what Dr. Grudem was talking about. He's attempting to bring clarity to some of those areas of confusion. And that is a lengthy discussion, as you can imagine. And we started last time. We ran out of time. And instead of closing the broadcast, we just said, we're going to keep talking here with Dr. Meg Meeker, who was with us on the phone. And we said, we'll just pick it up next time. And that's what we're going to do right now. Hope that's not confusing everybody. But we're going to start today's program with the continuation of the discussion that we were having last time. Now, let me introduce Dr. Grudem again. He's a professor of theology with Phoenix Seminary and has written or edited more than 20 books. Dr. Grudem has been researching or writing on these very issues, these gender issues in the Bible, for 27 years. And we've been talking about here, and yesterday was his book entitled Evangelical Feminism and Biblical Truth.
And as you mentioned earlier, Dad, we invited our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker, to join us by phone to add that feminine perspective to the conversation. So let's begin now with your first comment, Dad, in this conversation we had with Dr. Wayne Grudem and Dr. Meg Meeker here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Let me say to you that I believe in male leadership. I see it in the scripture like you do. I believe that a man, as I said earlier, is crazy to think that he should make every decision without considering the desires of his wife, and her views are often superior to his. I mean, I'm sorry to admit it, but it's simply true.
And I readily admit it. My wife, you don't see inside of our marriage relationship, but how many times Margaret keeps me from making stupid mistakes?
Well, I have a friend who said I'm the pedal and she's the brake.
And that's about it.
You've got to have both, because you'll crash a car if you don't. But there are limits to that male decision-making power. And I want to express a few of them and see if you agree. One of them would involve a couple that I counseled. Actually, I did most of my talking with her, because he was oppressive and aggressive with her, and did not give her an opportunity even for her personality to flourish. And he prohibited her from going to Bible studies because he thought that was a waste of time. And he would not allow her to teach what she believed about Scripture to their children. And, I mean, a whole list of things like this.
He's basically commanding her to sin.
He did. And that's first
wrong.
Exception.
That's absolutely wrong.
When a man is insisting that his wife does something that violates her conscience, and we're talking
she
about
should not,
scriptural
She
things.
Should not feel any obligation
she
from God to obey that.
She should not submit at those points.
I absolutely agree. And when I am aware of a situation like that, I'm just so deeply grieved. I feel so saddened, because it's an abuse of the greater physical power or greater aggressiveness that he has just by virtue of creation.
Now,
it's horrible.
I've heard some spiritual leaders say that if the husband demands that his wife not teach the children to be Christians and to lead them to Christ, that the woman should just take a step back, and that will put pressure on the man to begin to live the Christian life himself and so on. I don't agree with that at all. Well, another one is pornography.
Yeah.
There are many men that want to spice up the sex life by bringing pornography into it and insisting that the wife do things that he has seen on videos or DVDs or what have you.
Yeah.
And that violates her conscience.
Yes. And she should not do it.
And she should not do that. So her submission is a little bit selective in some of those
things.
Well,
the principle is with submission within marriage or in other areas of submission, in the workplace or in government, we should not submit to government's commands when it commands us to disobey God. And in this situation, the husband, in looking at pornography, he's violating Jesus' statement. If you look at a woman with lustful intent, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And so he's violating the heart attitude part of you shall not commit adultery. When he's asking his wife to participate with him in looking at it, he's asking her to approve of his sin and encourage his sin. And she should disagree and not go along with that.
And some guys would actually like to bring the second woman into the marital relationship.
Blatant violation
she
of God's
not,
spirit.
No. Submit to
blatant
that.
Blatant violation
or
of Scripture.
She should not allow him to be abusive with the children.
No.
She's got to oppose him.
Insofar as she can. Yes.
Yeah.
And those situations require much wisdom and prayer and courageous intervention by a pastor or local leaders in the church or other Christian friends. And we have done that ourselves in certain situations we knew of. There was a situation many years ago where when I was teaching, but my wife was home and we had teenage sons in the home. My wife and our three sons helped a woman move out of her home secretly while her husband was at work one time, not because she wanted to destroy the marriage, but because the husband was abusive and he wasn't waking up and realizing it was serious. She moved out completely, and my sons and wife carried some of the stuff, and she went to an undisclosed location in order to shock him into saying this marriage has to change. And it did, in fact. He turned around and he repented, and their marriage is back together, and we saw them 10 years later, and they're doing well.
You see, that's a theme of my book, Love Must Be Tough.
Yeah.
There are times when you have to do that.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that people run out and get a divorce, but there are times where you say, this is intolerable.
Exactly. Yes, I think we need to intervene in those horrible situations.
Let's bring Ryan and Meg in here.
You know, I completely agree, and I think that you're really talking about the larger issue, which is, I think, what a lot of the women who are listening struggle with, and that is maybe that they're married to somebody that the mom is trying really hard to follow Christ, but dad is just really not very interested. So maybe her husband isn't involved in pornography, and maybe he isn't hurting her or the kids, but it's hard for her to submit if she wants to follow her Lord and yet submit to a man who's not interested in her Lord. That's a real tension for women, and it's a real struggle. Can you just speak to that a little bit?
In the first century, where Peter was writing his first epistle, 1 Peter 3, there was a situation like that, or there were situations like that. And Peter was written to hundreds of churches in Asia Minor. And 1 Peter 3, 1 says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct." Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Meeker, I'm not saying that that's easy at all, but I do call to mind now one, two, maybe more situations I could think of that we have known where, yes, I think of another one now, a third one, where a wife has been in that situation and she has been just a courageous example for how Christians should live in a difficult situation being faithful to her own husband, supporting, loving him, seeking to love him and be an example to him, and yet in areas where, not where he's commanding her to sin, but just other areas of life, she's still being subject to his leadership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's another issue that comes up, and that is men in this culture, including me, being uncomfortable with having the responsibility to make a decision.
Dr. Grudem, I think maybe some people that are listening, probably below my generation, might be asking, well, no offense, but so what?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, this is the ideal, mm-hmm. but really, why does this matter? Why does this matter for marriages? Why does it matter for relationships? Why does it matter for the church if the wife makes the decisions and the husband doesn't, or she protects and provides for the family and he doesn't? I mean, if they get along as a couple and they're raising their kids and the kids seem okay, why do you care about this issue so much?
The main issue is obedience to Scripture. It's obedience to what God tells us about how we should behave. And I know that's going to look different, Ryan, in different marriages and different situations, but the question is, however it looks in actual details,
mm-hmm.
are you content, I would say to a wife, are you content to affirm that your husband has a leadership role that you're going to acknowledge in the marriage? And to the husband, are you content to agree that you have that responsibility?
And really the short answer to my question is, it's because that's what God says to do.
Yes, exactly.
And if you're going to ignore him in this area, what other yep. areas are you also going to yep. ignore him yep. because you've just yep. decided, well, I know what God says, I just don't really care what he says yep. in this area.
Yep.
And that is consistent with what we can see with
right.
our eyes.
Yep.
Two
yep.
captains do sink the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Two cooks spoil the broth.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have somebody that is leading.
But now, how do we keep it from being so divisive? You know, when you yep. bring this up, you can feel the hair on people's necks stand up.
Yeah.
You can see the tension. You can see facial expressions yep. change and jaws get clenched.
Mm-hmm.
How do we address this without causing a fight?
Yeah, well, as gently and carefully and plainly as you can. That's what we're trying to do today. But Dr. Dobson, you mentioned cooks and the broth. there's another thing that I think husbands have to hear, and that is it's perfectly fine and it works very well in marriage if there are areas of responsibility that you entrust to one another as husband and wife.
If I could add something Ryan had asked, you know, how we teach submission and why won't people listen. And, you know, as a submitter, because I'm the lone woman here, I don't know that for me submission isn't the problem. I think the problem lies with leadership. Because if the leader is really living as Jesus, submission is easy. And granted, I have a great husband, but I will tell you, for me to say, okay, what do you want to do? And he's clearly the leader in our home, and it's funny because we share a medical practice together, but he's easy to submit to because he always has my best interest, and I always believe he has my back. And I think that there are a lot of women who don't want to submit because they don't trust their husband, or perhaps the husbands aren't leading well, and I don't know that men are really being taught how to lead in a
yes.
biblical way.
I think you're absolutely right, Dr. Meeker. And that's the fruit of 30 years of feminist campaigning, saying you don't have a leadership role. We don't know what it is to be a man, but it certainly isn't
yeah.
to lead. And so men are confused. And I think that
yeah.
leads to a postponing of marriage, too, because they're saying, well,
yeah.
what am I supposed to be as a husband? I don't
right.
know. I'm
right.
told what I'm not supposed to be, but nobody's told me what I'm supposed to be. And so that's a breakdown of patterns in our culture. I'm glad for different Christian ministries that have emphasized new instructional programs for what it is to be a man and mm-hmm. to have a sense of responsibility for leadership and provision and protection of the family. Robert Lewis at Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock has a men's fraternity training program that's gone to many, many churches. I see now that Dennis Rainey and Family Life have produced a new curriculum called Stepping Up, which is for
yeah.
manhood.
training. He was here talking about that with his son.
He was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and Dr. Dobson, I know that you have done some things to address male responsibility.
This is something I feel very strongly about.
Important.
Go ahead.
And I think several years ago, Dr. Grudem wrote a book called Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and it hit. And I think it hit a nerve, and I got so much mail from men saying, thank you for saying something nice about us.
Wow.
And the whole point was,
wow,
dads, I actually wrote one whole chapter on to protect and defend your daughter.
Wow.
And men just ate it up because it resonated so deeply with them. And I think the refreshment of having somebody say, run with this, it made me very sad that so many men in our culture feel so squashed.
Yep.
Meg, I have quoted the portion that you just talked about. I wish everybody would see it. I wish every man would see it in recognizing the role that they play in their daughter's life. And
yes.
You really did state that well.
Dr. Grudem, we're almost out of time here, but I know we have young people listening. And as much as we are in the state that we're in because of 30-plus years of feminism, the men during that 30-year period also gave up their leadership in a way. And so you've got young women saying, I want to marry a leader.
Yes.
I want to marry a man of God.
Yes.
And there aren't that many out there.
Yes.
And you've got young men saying, I don't know what it means to be a man, and I don't know how to be a leader. What do you say to both of them? Because you've got a lot of college women out there that have gone to school, and they're intelligent, and they're smart, and they love the Lord, and they're looking around at the crop of men saying, I don't know. I'm not sure I like the product of 30 years of feminism, but I still want to be married. I still long for that relationship. What do they do?
That's a pretty good question, isn't it?
Listen,
well,
you gotta
understand.
I'm glad you're answering that
well,
one.
I'm not sure I can answer
I'm
it,
sitting
right.
here with three doctors. I'm the only one without letters after my name. I'm feeling a little...
Well, my first thought is, Ryan, when there's a pattern of rebellion against God's word that pervades in a society, there is a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people that are hurt. And what we do as Christians, what we do as Christian broadcasters, or what we do as professors, or what we do as the church, is attempt to explain God's word clearly to get people back on track, realizing that maybe the culture isn't going to follow, but at least asking God's people to say, here is the pattern of how God wants you to act in Scripture. Now will you step up to that challenge? And I'll tell you, Ryan, both you and your dad have hinted at this in previous sections here, but men rise to a challenge. They rise to the challenge of being courageous and undertaking something that will perhaps be difficult, but they can try to do it as best they can. And I think that's the challenge that we need to hold out to men in our culture today. God wants you in most cases, to find a wife and be married. And in that relationship, he wants you to love your wife, to be humble and gracious and understanding and listen to her, but also to accept a responsibility to lead, provide for, and protect in your family.
Mm. I agree. I like your answer, too.
Meg, you got one last question.
Well, I think what I would like to see, and I think, you know, if we could do anything to follow up from this, which tends to what Ryan was saying, is to really be out there and kind of encourage young men regarding how to lead and how to act like Christ, because I think they're very hungry for it. I think that if feminism has done anything, it's just confused the daylights out of what manhood is about, masculinity is about. I think there's a lot of shame surrounding it now. And so I think I would love to see, you know, us at Family Talk even doing a little more focus on attending to the needs of our men.
Hmm. And if the men don't have it right, imagine how little boys are supposed to get their understanding. They watch television. I hope not very much, but they'd watch it. And a man's always a fool.
Yeah.
He's always a jerk. He's an adolescent crazy.
Beat out at every contest by Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Well, and I really feel that, you know, that's one of the most pressing issues of our day in our country is the restoration of men. And the wife has a huge part to play in that. And I really challenge women to be about supporting their husbands in their children's eyes, because that changes the person that your child becomes when he grows up, if he respects his dad.
You know, Dr. Meeker, my hat is off to Shirley, because she built me up in the eyes of our two children at every turn.
Wow.
I mean, I look back on it, and she just intuitively knew it, and she believed it, you know. But she talked very respectfully about me to you and to Danae.
Well, I wrote you this year on your anniversary, 53rd anniversary, that I will never fully understand the blessing of your marriage. I know it's affected me. I know it's shaped me. I know it's molded me. I know it's given me a good resource. But I will never, ever understand the impact that it's had on my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, that means a lot to me.
Ryan, if I could give one more response to what to say to men about assuming leadership, I'm going to give a little commercial for this book, Evangelical Feminism and Biblical Truth. In this book, I've compiled 27 years worth of objections to biblical manhood and womanhood that have been brought up by scholars in biblical studies, or scholars in history or philosophy, and they're saying it's not fair, it's not biblical, the verse doesn't mean this, it doesn't mean this. And I don't know that there's any other book around that answers those objections.
It's a good thing it's so
this
small
is what the Bible teaches.
Fits in the pocket so easily.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying
this
it's small.
This is an 800-page book, by the way.
But I am saying, out of 27 years of debating feminists, talking with feminists, writing articles about this issue, it's all condensed into this book, and every single issue that has ever come up in that all of those 27 years of debate is in this book. So if men are wondering, does the Bible really teach this? Or if women are wondering, does the Bible really teach this? If there's an objection to this that you have heard someplace in your church, I'm almost certain it's one of the 118 that I addressed.
It's a great resource. It really is. It's an exhaustive resource. And you can look through and say, what does it say about this?
Right.
And you've got great answers.
Let me summarize it in one sentence. You've got 800 pages here. I can hardly carry this book. But it all comes down to this. You can trust the words of the Scripture.
Absolutely.
It says what – I'm going to give you another sentence. It says what it means, and it means what it says.
Absolutely, Dr. Dobson. And my deep heart motivation in this is trying to call the church to be faithful to God's word, because I know when we disobey God's word, everything goes wrong. And when we obey, there's blessing.
It is such a pleasure to have you with us, Dr. Grudem, and I appreciate so much what you stand for. Dr. Meeker, I'm so glad that you're part of our team now, and I'd rather have you here than on the phone, because you didn't get a chance to talk as much as you should, but we will have an opportunity in days to come.
Yes, we will, and I'm thrilled to be part of the team.
Well, we could go on talking about this for a month or two, because there's an awful lot there. That's why you got 800 pages. Wayne, you're a great friend to me, and God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. Joy to be here.
And we certainly could have kept talking and talking with Dr. Grudem and Dr. Meeker about feminism and the Bible. You know, gender roles are not only complex, they are a sensitive topic, too. Some of my favorite days are in the studio when we roll up our sleeves and have a real in-depth conversation about some of these hot-button Christian issues like gender. And if you're like me and you want to dig even more into what the Bible says to men and women and about how we relate to one another, Dr. Wayne Grudem's book is practically bursting with information. I mean, it is 800 pages. You can find all the information about his book, Biblical Feminism and Evangelical Truth, by going to our website at drjamesdobson.org. It's hard to wrap my head around it, but we are just days away from December. It is officially time to start caroling and shopping for gifts. And as joyous as this time of year is meant to be, it can bring both gladness and pain. We at Family Talk know that there are sons and daughters out there who haven't spoken to their parents in years. There are struggling spouses listening who don't know if their marriage will see the new year. It's for those people that we record our broadcasts, update the Family Talk Facebook page, write newsletters, and send out emails. Family Talk is determined to reach out to the community through as many platforms as possible so we can touch as many lives as possible. But that kind of growth is entirely thanks to the financial partnership of our listeners. So if you'd like to help Family Talk continue to minister on the web, paper, and through our broadcasts, we would so appreciate your gift. And if you donate before the end of December, your gift will be doubled as a part of our year-end matching program. So give today at drjamesdobson.org, via the Family Talk app, on our Facebook page, or by calling us at 877-732-6825. And thank you in advance for your generosity and for tuning into today's broadcast. Before we close, I have a special announcement. All year, we've been listening as you have responded to our programs. We've read your Facebook comments and letters, listened to your calls, and thanks to your feedback, we're proud to feature the best of the best of 2013 starting this coming Monday. We're going to kick off the top programs of the year next week with a message from Pastor Steve Holt and his wife, Liz, about rejuvenating your relationship and building up your marriage. So don't miss the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.